Yeah, let's go. Let's go now. Without the cursing, though.
Okay.
The cursing.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Not a cursing show.
Ready when you are.
We don't work blue.
I said I'm good to go.
You're not Lenny Bruce. Hello and welcome to episode 337 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
British Columbia, Canada.
Yes.
What's going on, Adam?
End of the year, end of school year blues.
The blue. Oh, for the parents, it's the blues. For the kids, it's wow!
Well, it's not so much the blues that school's ending, it's the blues of there's just so much stuff goes on right towards the last, 2 weeks of school.
And your wife is a teacher.
Yeah, so there's that. So she's got tons of stuff, yeah. And the kids have tons of stuff. And, it's busy, busy, busy. And not that it isn't always busy. It just seems like it's ramped up about 14 notches.
It does. And as soon as it's all done, you kind of get a sigh of relief. I know we feel the same because often years, like my wife's also a teacher. And oftentimes, like, she's basically racing to get everything done for the last day. We have like basically time to catch our breath and then get on the plane to Canada. That's usually how it goes oftentimes.
Yeah.
Or last year was, get in the RV and drive to Italy. That kind of stuff. It's always like the very next day.
Okay.
And so I can fully sympathize with your end of school year blues.
Yeah, I'll be happy when it's all over.
When it's September?
Yeah. No, just summer's great. Summer's a great time.
Summer's the best. That's why they call it summer.
Yeah. So it's just getting over the last 2.5 weeks. Then it's fun time.
All right. So if you need stuff, like, let's say you need suitcases to pack your stuff up for your vacation in summer.
Or Kleenex for the tears that I'm going to share.
Kleenex for the tears. Get it on Amazon.
Okay.
Do you guys have...
Click through.
Click through our site. That's what I'm getting at. Oh, yeah. I was kind of going shorthand there.
Okay.
Yeah. Click through our site. Help us out. I think you have Amazon Video in Canada now, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And do you watch any of it?
No.
I'm going to give you a recommendation.
Okay.
Keep not watching it.
It's not
good. No, I'm only joking. I'm only kidding. No, I do. I like. Oh, it's a different catalog, I'm sure, in Germany than it is in Canada. But they have original programming as well.
Okay.
Some good. Some, I don't know. Opposite of good, I suppose, or less good. But one of the shows that my wife and I happen to like is a show called Bosch.
Okay, not like the dishwasher?
They make a number of products, but it is about them. It's about a factory here in Germany.
Okay.
No. It's actually based on a series of novels, of which I've read a bunch of them. But it's like a detective show, LAPD show, and it kind of reminds. I really like the show. I'm a fan. I think they're in season 3 now, maybe 4, whatever. I'm watching the latest, and it really reminds me of, and my wife too, of a show called Da Vinci's Inquest.
Okay,
you know that one?
I know of it. I never watched it.
Right, Vancouver show, shot, set in Vancouver, shot in Vancouver. Really great show. And especially the theme music really kind of reminds me of it. But so I urge you to check that out if you're looking for something to watch to wash away the summer blues.
Okay.
All right. So what's going on, man?
Not much. Went to Seattle. That was exciting.
Yes, I watched the very same game that you were at. Didn't see you.
No. Us or whatever 45,000 other people.
Right.
It was the annual trip for the Blue Jays to the West Coast, where they play one series a year in Seattle. So we thought it'd be fun to go down for a game. So we just went to the Sunday game. So they were here for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series.
And I gave you some advice that turned out to be a real wet noodle.
Yeah. So we went early because, number one, we knew the border was going to be crazy. It seems like for anybody who's watched any of the Toronto against Seattle in the last couple of years, there's probably about 85% Blue Jay fans in Seattle, most of which are sort of transplanted Torontonians who live in Vancouver and make their way down to Seattle for the big series that they only have once a year. So it's pretty neat in that, you know, it's basically an away game for the Blue Jays that's actually more the atmosphere of a home game. So we went early to avoid all the craziness at the border, and so we got down there nice and early. We just were it was a 1:30 or it was a 1:10 game. And so we were going down for 11 to see batting practice, except for there was no batting practice, unfortunately, that day. So
neither team's hit?
Neither team hit. There was a ton of people there for the opening, and the players were out there warming up, and they did sign some autographs. We didn't bother because there's hordes of people kind of lined up to try to do that, so I had no interest in doing that. So we wandered around and sat in different locations just to kind of get different vantage points as the players were sort of warming up, but no hitting to be had. So that was a bit of a letdown, but otherwise it was a great experience. And the one thing I learned is we went there for just after 11, and it was a 3-hour game. So we left at 4:00 and it was the middle of the ninth. We just didn't see Seattle's last at bats, which we didn't care because the Blue Jays were up 4-0, and we thought, all right, this is pretty safe time to get out of here. Plus, just wanted to avoid the 45,000 people leaving at the same time. So we left in the middle of the ninth, and so we'd been there 5 hours, and nobody had any issue at all. Like no kids complaining of is it time to go yet? Nothing. It was awesome. So everybody enjoyed it, and no problem spending 5 hours at the ballpark. So
now the reason there was no BP is likely the game probably went the Saturday night game probably went a little bit long, and so with a 1:10 start, they probably gave the guys a little break. And,
yeah, it wasn't extra innings or anything, but I think probably just, you know, it was part of the fact that they were at the end of the road trip and probably a little tired and just figured that, all right, yeah, we got an afternoon game after a night game, so let's can the BP.
Just go take a few rips in the cage under the bleachers, and that's that. So
yeah. Yep. So that was good, and the Blue Jays won, so that was fun. And I took a few snapshots from around the park. None of which that I've posted yet, but I guess I should do that.
It's a nice park. It really is a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, and again, just took the Canon RX100 camera just because nice, portable, good for snapshots, and so good camera choice for this kind of occasion where you don't want to pack around the big DSLR and bag and whatnot.
Oh, for sure. Actually, Safeco Field reminds me a lot of the old Kingdom.
Sure.
No.
To be honest, I've never been in the Kingdom. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was.
You've been
to
Costco, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You've been in the Kingdom. It's the same. It was the same. It was awful. Just all, except for Griffey played, so that was nice.
Yeah.
But other than that, not so good.
How about you? Did you do anything interesting?
Baseball update, man.
Okay.
We lost.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. To the last place team.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, in all fairness to us, I mean, not fairness, because we should have won that game. We won the second game. We played doubleheaders, so we lost 5-3. And we were missing 6 of our 9 starters.
Okay.
And so one guy got suspended, one guy, you know, a couple guys were injured, a couple guys were gone. Like, just whatever, however it worked out, 6 of our starting 9 were gone. So it was mostly our backup guys, and we still should have won, but it just didn't happen. But even worse, in the 5-3 game, I struck out.
Oh, no.
That's my second strikeout of the season. We're halfway through the season. It's my second strikeout of the season. I don't do it. I'm not a fan of striking out, and thus I do not do it.
Okay.
And this one was not. This one hurt. I'm not going to lie to you.
Called third strike. Yeah.
I'm just gonna lay it out there. Here's what happened.
Take us pitch by pitch.
I gotta get it off my chest because I hit 4. I'm a cleanup hitter. Okay. You know, I'm pretty wily at this point in my career.
Okay.
You know, I know how to hit. I know what I'm doing up there. I know how to handle the bat, and I know how to handle the situation. So, guy in front of me, our three hitter, just walked like and just walked like on bad pitches.
Okay,
the guy wasn't anywhere near the zone. So in that situation, if the guy ahead of me walks, 9 times out of 10, even more often than that, I'm taking a strike.
Sure.
Because generally, what you want to do, this is for everyone listening out there who wants to be a better hitter. If a guy's struggling, you really want to make him work for it.
Sure.
Make him dig the hole. Okay. So get his pitch count up. Make him do the sweating. So he walks the three hitter. So I'm just red light the whole way. Well, he sneaks a fastball in for strike one. Okay, no problem. 0-1. Next pitch, he comes in with a fastball. And I yank it just foul for a home run.
Okay, but it's not a home
run. Not for a home run. Sorry, I pulled it.
For a foul ball.
For a foul ball. For strike two. That's okay. The point. Point being is I cranked it out to the cars and just hooked it foul. So like, all right, well, it's 0-2.
Yeah.
Now you got to go to work, right? That's what you do.
Defensive.
You choke up. First of all, choke up on the bat. Shorten up. I swing a 33-inch bat, sometimes a 34. This at bat was a 33-inch bat. Choke up a little bit. Get some bat control. Next move, and this is for when Jack starts playing in the pitching league, you crowd the plate. You get your toes right up on the black there. Because I know that, like the guys, there's no way he's going to blow it past me on the inside.
Okay.
Worst case, he paints the black, I pull it foul again. I keep doing that until he throws it where I want it. But the point is, if he throws it too far inside, it's going to hit me, which mm-hmm. is fine. I don't mind that. But the point being, the umpire cannot call an inside strike on me. He's not going to beat me on the inside. The umpire, not the pitcher, the umpire will not beat me.
Okay.
There you go. Also, move up in the box. Move forward so that if you throw some kind of a goofy curveball, you can hit it before it does anything silly.
Okay.
So now you're set. Now you're still looking for your pitch, right? You still want something to hit, but you got to spoil the guy's day. If he throws like a, you know, maybe he paints the black on the outside corner at the knee, you don't want to hit that pitch, but you can't let it go.
Okay.
So that's a pitch that you just kind of flip, you foul off. And you work the count, and you start to make him throw balls. Because if he gets you 0-2, most pitchers aren't going to come with a fastball down the chute.
Right.
They feel they got a little wiggle room here. So he does. He throws two balls, you know, two balls high, up and away, up and away. Counts 2-2. Then a couple close ones, foul a couple more off. Then he throws a third one in the dirt. No problem. Full count. We're set.
Yep.
And then he comes in, throws another one at the same pitch, right in the dirt. I leave it for ball four. Umpire rings me up on strike three.
Oh, no.
I was furious. Just furious, because this is late in the game, and I've already, it's my fourth at bat, and it's the fourth at bat in a row that I've gone full count. I've worked the count full all four times. So the umpire should know that I do know what I'm doing.
Did you kick any dirt?
No, because you get tossed for that.
Did you call his mother any names?
I did not. I gave him some evil stares and yelled at him a little bit. Pushed it as far as I could without getting thrown out. But I was furious. I said like if that happens, if I go 0-2 and then he sneaks a pitch in there that's a ball and he calls it strike three, that's fine. That's on me. But I clearly worked the count back in my favor, and I'm working hard up there, and then get to have him just take it away like that was just infuriating.
That's terrible. Have you slept since?
Like more than an hour in a row? No. No, you laugh, but this will haunt me the whole season. No, it does. It really does. Because, here's why. Here's the kicker, okay? And then I come up with one out in the ninth. We got runners on first and second. We're down two runs. You know, a big hit here is really going to tie the game, right? And I, again, worked the count full for the fifth time that day, and I hit a laser to left field, opposite field. 2-strike pitch on the outside, just laser. The guy, left fielder, actually caught. Like, he did it just, you know, one foot to the left, it's tie game. But he made the catch, so good for him, no problem. But point is, You know, I ended up going like 1-for-4 that game, a couple RBIs, 3 stolen bases, something like that, 2 stolen bases. After the game, one of our fans approaches me and just is ripping me about striking out looking.
Yes.
He's like, yo, hey, what are you doing? Striking out. You can't do that. Can't I?
Critical time of the game.
I feel like I just did. I know I can because I just did. We all watched me do it. And I said, no, listen, I got to stop you there. Normally I would just go, yeah, we're working on it, you know, the Reg Dunlop. But I said, no, let me stop you right there. That's nonsense. And basically told you the story that I just told you. And he basically said, yeah, but you know the umpire is going to call low strikes. You just got to foul that off.
Yeah, I agree with that guy.
We had to make contact. Even the guys on the team thought that was hilarious. They said, if you swung at that, you'd have broke your bat. It was a bat breaker, no question.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that was nice. Nice of the fan to come up to me and give me the old what for.
I think next time you just got to be better.
I can't be better than bad umping. I can't do it. You can't.
You should have hit the second pitch fair for a home run.
I know in that absolutely. That would have been quality criticism. I would have taken that. I would have said you're right. I should have done that.
Yeah. That would have been better.
However, here we are. And then my wife actually kind of gave me the business. She says, "You take so long to hit. Like, why do you take why so many pitches? Just hit the first one."
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah,
dear.
That would have been better too.
Yeah, they're not exactly throwing a lot of fastballs in middle in to me.
Should have hit the first one for a home run.
Yeah, I should have done that. That's not how it works. But in the end, the kicker is at the end of the day, we came back 1-12-0. Our pitcher, it was a shortened game because we beat him so badly, so we only played 5 innings in those games. But it was 15 up, 15 down for them.
Wow.
Not a perfect game, though. Not a perfect game. We had one runner get on with an error, throwing error to first base, and our catcher was backing up the play, and the guy turned and went to second. The catcher threw him out at second during the same play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, but so one base runner did reach, but the rest of them was a no-hitter and almost a perfecto.
Wow.
Which was pretty cool, but yeah, we came out hitting there and we won 12-0. And so at the end of the day, I had an okay day, 3-for-7, a couple RBIs, ended up with 4 stolen bases. But it was the strikeout looking that the fans wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So
that's what the media was all wanting to know as well.
Yeah. Why don't you just skip next game, guys? You can go ahead and stay home. Yeah. Good times. All anyways. Right.
Glad you got that off your chest.
Monthly challenge for June. It is summer. That is the challenge, and it is going to be summer. It's not summer yet. It's still springtime, isn't it?
Yep.
I believe the news out of Facebook today is that we have a closed Facebook created.
Wow. That's
I didn't do it. No. No, I need to get the details because I just got a message from Chris who said he would be willing to handle it. Evidently, it's created. We just got to figure out the details, which once we do, I will post the details and we'll see how that goes. However, do you see any issues with that inherently?
With what?
A closed Facebook group.
That I can't post anything.
Well, we can. You'll be part. You can be part of it.
I'm not sure.
We will not talk about the photos on the show. If you post it in that closed Facebook group, the reason that you're in that closed Facebook group,
you're part of the secret club,
is because you want to be in the secret club.
Right.
And the first rule of secret club is we don't talk about Fight Club, ironically,
on the podcast.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. If you cross post, maybe we'll get to it. I don't know. Like I said, it's already more confusing than I'd like.
Yeah.
But we'll see how the closed Facebook group goes. And again, if it encourages interaction amongst yourselves, we are all for it.
Okay.
So I'll post the details when I have them. Don't have them yet. Photo. We do a photo show, right? Or is this just about baseball and whining?
Baseball and photos.
Mm-hmm. Did you shoot anything interesting?
just photos around Safeco Field with my Canon, or not Canon, Sony RX100.
You had time, though, so did you shoot anything artsy?
No.
No? Not even, like, the view coming out of the tunnel?
No.
Huh. I feel like you missed a trick.
Not really my thing. I did take a quick snapshot of the kids as we were coming up through the tunnel, but then it was out of focus, so I tossed it. It would have been a good photo.
Wow.
Totally out of focus, partly because I had the I just pulled the camera out of my pocket and shot it, and it was not on focus tracking. It was on one shot, and so they were moving, I was moving, so it was almost a good photo. But that was my closest attempt to artsy. No, I just took snapshots.
Kind of like hitting a foul ball home run and then striking out.
Yeah, exactly. Near miss. I wish I had a do-over. No.
Me too.
For me, it was just kind of like, oh, you know, it was kind of like having your phone at the ballpark in that, you know, I didn't try to go too far in the creative realm. I just kind of said, oh, you know, let's get a shot of, you know, me and the kids or the family. A stranger grabbed or offered to take our photo, so I passed the camera over and got a, you know, half decent family shot and just those kind of things. Me and Sarah.
Was that stranger sitting close to you?
Yeah, just when we were awaiting batting practice that never happened.
Right.
They said, oh, hey, do you want me to take a photo of you? And I said, sure. And it's a little different when it's the DSLR, and we talked about, you know, strangers and back button focus and all that, but the RX100, it's a half press, and just there's a big green square, just get the green square up in the middle of us and then you'll be good.
Next time that happens where you get a stranger taking your picture,
yeah,
as soon as they're done, you just tell them, hey, you're my selfie stick, and then laugh like it's the funniest joke you ever heard.
Oh, is that a thing?
That should be your move. It could be a thing that we just invented.
Okay.
And then don't hesitate, like every couple of innings, to yell down, "Hey, selfie stick!" And then give him the thumbs up when he looks. That'll be that guy's worst baseball game ever.
Yeah, I probably won't do that, but
I'm gonna do it.
Sounds like a good plan.
I'm gonna do it with hot chicks.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a new move. All right. Anyways, carry on.
So that's it. So yeah, just snapshots. So I probably will post those. I haven't posted anything on our Instagram for a little while. So this is, now that we've talked about it, I feel like now I've got to post a few of those photos.
It's not going to hurt.
Sure.
Yep.
How about you?
No.
Great.
Tried very hard. Oh no, it's about to get dark.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. This is going to be one of those shows that we just don't air because, yeah. Tried very hard to take some good photos. It's that time of year where good photos shall be taken.
Okay.
You're outside all the time. It's light approximately 25 hours a day up here in the 49th and for us the 50th parallel. So my kids, their cousins were in town. They have a couple of cousins almost the same age, roughly the same age as them. Not quite, but... So we all went over to Oma and Opa's for dinner and... Just great, like just amazing, wide open countryside, just a gorgeous light the magic hour seemed to last like a full hour for some reason, just amazing. And you know, Oma and Opa, they look after goats and everything too, so like there's that whole element of you know, they have goats out there and the kids go out there and play with goats, which in retrospect doesn't sound cool on paper, but it is when you're there. And it's just that awesome, like this tall grass. There's like, you know when like it's backlit and there's like that sort of like that little bit of dust and the bugs in the air, that kind of backlit looks amazing.
Sure.
Kids are playing, golden sunshine.
Goats everywhere.
Goats, like goat crap everywhere. I know the goats are penned off and there's much more areas. Not just wall to wall goats. We don't live on a goat farm. Okay. You know, but they have them. Goats are an option.
Nothing better than an, you know, late evening backlit goat.
Backlit, bah, that's a sheep, but it's close. Like they speak similar.
Similar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like German and Dutch. Like there's a little crossover, or French and Spanish. It's like, it's not the same, but there's some words that, okay, yeah, I get it. So it just really is amazing. Like a lot of space and the kids are playing. And so you'd think, like I knew going in, I'm going to get my year's quota today of good photos.
Okay.
So I bring the classic, the 5D classic, and I throw on, which lens do you think I threw on there?
85.
I'm saying it's wide open, like fields.
Do you have a 400 millimeter?
70 to 200 I put on there. Because okay. I find I get really great results with that when it's wide open, blah, blah, blah. So I throw that on there, and I didn't get any pictures. Nothing.
What?
No. Like, honestly, like, well, a couple that were like, all right, those are technically photos. That's fine. My kids, who are now 3.5 and almost 6, they've gone from refusing to cooperate with the photos mm-hmm. into actively sabotaging any possibility.
Oh, wow.
They are just, they see it and they just turn their backs. And they, like, they'll play with their backs turned to me. Just because they're like, no, you're not getting a picture, Dad. Well, ironically, during the daytime, I have been working on putting together photos for her birthday photo album that she loves. She loves looking at the photo album. Yet, will sabotage every chance I have of taking a photo of her.
Nice.
What is that about? I think that's just cutting your nose off to spite your face at that point.
What about the goats?
Awesome. Shot the heck out of them. Yeah. No, and so the hard part is, now here's where the long lens really kills you, is that, you know, if you need to move, so your kids turn your back, you need to move to get in a position where you can see them. You have to move a long way. That's a long arc you have to complete.
Right. You're saying if you're zoomed in.
Yeah, but you, even if you're at 70, you still got to move a fair bit to get over in position. But all they have to do is pivot, and they are good at pivoting. And I don't know why. And so once they're doing this, so meanwhile, the older cousin, who's, I don't know, he's 7, I think, maybe 8. He's right in that zone where he just wants to make a goofy face to ruin every photo, anyways. Every single photo he just ruins on purpose. And then the little girl, who's, I think, 4, she just sees what my kids do and just copies them. So I get nothing. So I'm just angry. Like, I've gone past frustrated into just, who do you think you are?
Right.
What's going on? So I go put the camera away. I said, look, you look around. This is beautiful. Like, this should be an album. This today should be its own album. I go put the camera in the car. I said, forget it. I'm just mad. Cut to 30 seconds later, something cute happens, and Oma says, oh, that'd be a cute photo.
Yeah, that's the
Would
best.
It? Would that be a cute one? Yeah, I'm all done here. I went and took a hammer and smashed my camera. Yeah. Yeah. So I think I might be done. I might, this might not even be about photography anymore. It might be about how I used to shoot photos. So much so that the next morning, the kids had come in the morning, had come and jumped into our bed, and for some reason my son has a little carabiner for a keychain version, not like an actual climbing carabiner.
Sure, yeah.
And so he likes to play with that for some reason. I don't know. And he was just kind of whipping it around at, like, this is like 5 in the morning, and he throws it and hits my daughter right in the face while she's sleeping.
Yeah, that's not gonna feel good.
I'm still angry from the night before. And so I actually said to my kid, hey, quit behaving like an a-hole. Except I didn't say the a-hole, I said the full word.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how angry I was with the
Does he know the word?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, they call it something else in German. Okay. Can I swear in German on the show?
Sure.
Arschloch.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I said it in English.
There has to be a disclaimer on this episode.
Eh, that's, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, that's... So no, did not shoot anything interesting at all.
Okay, great.
Once again, two horrible outcomes, both not my fault, evidently.
Right, yeah.
Best... Maybe I should internalize some of this. Yeah. Yeah.
Not your best weekend.
No, that wasn't awesome. All right, photo challenge then. Sports.
Let's do yours because now it all makes sense as to why you were a self-portrait this week.
Due to the anger?
Yeah.
It was not... Oh, yeah, okay. When I issued this challenge, it was I was lobbing this into your wheelhouse because, you know, I felt bad for you. But
well, you thought I was going to do sports day.
Well, I knew you had sports day coming. So worst case, you had an option to shoot sports day. Did you shoot anything at sports day?
No, did not bring a camera.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
A few people asked me, you know, when I was out there, it's like, hey, where's your camera? And I just said, I've yet to have a photo that's a keeper from any of the past 3 years of sports day. So yeah. I officially quit on sports day. But
hey, where's your camera? That's the answer.
Well, there's definitely a few pro cameras and pro lenses out there, and I saw what they were shooting, and I'm pretty sure they have no usable photos either. So right. So yeah, no, I officially threw in the towel on taking photos at sports day last year.
You're good. Yeah. Hot move. I'm surprised it took you this long.
Yeah.
No, you don't need to do it.
Sometimes it was for my wife. It was because she's not there. And so it was like, oh, I'll take a few photos so she can see the kids' action. But I'm pretty sure she can now, from three previous years, imagine what happened.
Yeah. Everyone ran around. everyone got a first place ribbon no matter what place they finished.
Exactly.
Yeah. We know it. We know what sports day is. Not even sports. Not sporting at all.
No, made up sports. Made up games.
Made up games that no one loses.
Yeah.
Like life.
Although Jack definitely had it all kept track in his mind. He's like, yep, we got, because it's always there's always four teams at a station. It's it always rotates. And he's like, yep, we got nine firsts and 1 second.
Good. And, what happened on that second?
I don't know. They did have a super stud of a team, so I'm not surprised that they won every relay.
They have a super stud sports day team, eh?
Yeah. It was loaded. It was stacked.
It was like Golden State.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're the Golden State of sports day.
They're ruining sports day.
They also have tug of wars at the end, so clearly there's winners and losers, but it's a four-way tug of war set up. So they have this kind of like middle anchor thing so that four teams pulling in different directions, and they each have like a cone that you have to get your rope that's got a little sort of hanging down flag thing across the cone. So there's clear winners and losers in that. But instead of like one-on-one where there's just one winner and one loser, now you've got one winner and three losers. So
nice.
Jack's grade two squad just crushed in the tug of war. So he was quite excited about that. Sarah's team did not fare so well.
Do they still have the anchor?
Oh yeah, usually they stick the big kid on the end.
That's always the big kid. That's how we did it back when I was in school. It was like the big, and when we say big, really mean we mean the fat kid.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like
the
kid.
Most weight.
No, big and pretty fat. Although, okay. yeah, no, the kid knew it. The kid, they knew. This is
his turn to shine.
That was his day. The other 364, it was just not his day.
Right.
That was his day. And then so, but they would get in there, they'd get in the loop and just, oh boy, they'd go nuts, right? And then 1 year we even had a girl who was really good at it, unfortunately for her. But she really killed that. I won't name her here.
Okay.
Anyways, but I remember 1 year some kid got hurt because they passed out.
Because they
put that little the loop around your belly, right?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
The kid passed out.
Yeah, do they still do the loop? They outlawed the loop around the belly
after
that.
Yeah, you just hold it. Yeah, you don't loop anything around.
Yeah, no, they looped, and the kid passed out. And, that's
like
fine.
A bear hug from Billy Jack Haynes.
Yeah, but, I mean, we rubbed some dirt on it. The kid got back out there, and the kid probably won.
Okay.
So, in the end, in the best of five. So, you know... Who's a real loser in this one? Yeah,
exactly.
Anyways, all right. So yeah, so sports was the category for you. Just, I mean, you didn't have to shoot sports, and you didn't.
No.
So it wasn't. I had some stuff in mind. My kids played some sports. It's school holiday time though. So basically, all of their sports are canceled or just on holiday right now. So there was no t-ball, no soccer, no gymnastics. Those are the things that my son does. We go to the pool a lot. We did that, but it wasn't really sporty. So I didn't know what to shoot. And so really today I finally thought, man, I wanted to recreate the Huey Lewis and the News cover, but that wasn't going to happen.
Okay.
And so this is what I went with. I went with sports.
Yeah, you got a whole bunch of them in here.
That's what it was. It was plural. that was the point. I didn't want to just do one, so I did the crossover.
Yeah, and you got Smoke Machine going. You've got gelling the Flash going, I'm guessing. Or
Yeah,
because you got sort of the blue and the orange effect. So
I gelled the two Flashes in behind, both blue. One full CTB, one three-quarter, because I don't have two full CTBs.
Right.
So one three-quarter, and the front one is actually a full CTO.
There you go. So this, see, I like this photo. It seems like a lot of production value for a photo that you're not going to do anything with, though. That's the only thing I feel for you in this. This is a really good photo challenge photo, of which, where do you have a use for it?
I do.
Okay, well, that's good. I was hoping you'd have some.
I'm going to print it 100 times and give it to my kid for her album next year for her birthday. Happy birthday, kid. Awesome. You asked for it.
This will be the invitation to her next birthday party.
Oh, will it ever?
Yeah, sports day party.
And P.S., this will be in the grab bag that the kids get.
Yeah.
Also a copy glued on the front of the grab bag.
Nice. And you could sign it even. He would be like, hey, yeah, I'm the guy. I'm the guy on that photo.
Yes.
I'm the sports guy.
I shall do that.
You're like a mascot for sports.
Well, I picked sports that I actually am actively... Well, not actually, I thought about that. I'm like, I don't actually play hockey right now. I do skate. We skate all the time in the winter, but I don't play. I might this season. I might finally break out, but... I wanted to do stuff that actually made sense, you know, like the stuff that I do.
Yeah.
And hence the baseball, and the goggles. I thought, is it too much? I don't know.
Goggles are great.
Okay.
You could have even had them right on your face.
I was considering it, but I thought that would take away from the eye black.
Yeah, that's true. You would have lost that.
It would have looked goofy.
Yeah.
My one criticism here is that because of the angle and the size of my gloves, the bat looks really small.
Yeah, it does.
But my
brain can do the math that, you're wearing big gloves.
It's a normal size bat. It's not, because it could have been one of my, you know, like my kid's bat or something like that. But no, that's actually one of my gamers.
I think it also gets shrunken by the fact that you have those big elbow pads. So the elbow pads into the gloves make your arms look super huge into the small little bat on your shoulder. So you turn out to be Jose Canseco or Mark McGuire in this photo.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Albert Pujols.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe him. Bryce Harper?
No.
Nah, okay. Not enough of a beard. So in the end, the one variable that I was going to do without, and I tried a few. I can post it if you want to see it. Probably don't care. You can just imagine.
Okay.
Was the Smoke Machine.
Okay.
I wasn't going to use it. I was going to try to just shoot it against, like, this is downstairs where we have the maroon paint.
Yeah, you can kind of see it leaking through there.
Yeah, a little bit. And so I didn't really feel like adding the black background, and I thought, I can make it dark enough. Well, I shot it, and the maroon background is relatively the same color as our jerseys.
Right.
And so it's just kind of, it's blech, you know, it's nothing exciting. And so in order to obscure that, I decided I'm going to break the Smoke Machine out just to sort of add that little element. So even though it's something that, you know, I've done before, I'm okay with it, kind of like it. That's why I bought the Smoke Machine.
Sure.
However, I thought, okay, I'm going to take one shot where I'm holding the bat with both hands, and then one shot where I'm just kind of holding it over my shoulder with one hand.
Okay.
So I took this first and then went to snap the other one. By that point, the smoke had just dissipated all through the room, and just this effect was lost. And I couldn't get the smoke out of there fast enough in time to take a shot for the show.
Right.
So this was one and done, essentially, in terms of the Smoke Machine part of it.
Gotcha.
So this might turn into something. This will be an effect I use. This will be a technique I use on a more important photo, something less goofy.
Mm-hmm.
This is my version of, you know, Bo Knows.
Yep.
But not Bo Jackson.
I know. I had the poster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we looked different. Like around the shoulders, mostly.
Yeah.
So, anyways, all right, let's have a look at your photos. You have two of them.
Yeah.
Didn't need the alternate one.
No, I just put it in there because it was a snapshot as we were leaving, and I'll talk about the one that is my challenge photo.
So okay.
The one where, from our perspective, that's where our seats were in the left field bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it was a situation where I was kind of waiting for a moment where, you know, something would happen where people would cheer. And, you know, there's a couple of hits. Bases got loaded in this situation. And the guy just kind of two rows in front of us stood up and was kind of fist pumping and cheering. And
what was Bautista doing out in left field? Wasn't he playing?
Bautista... Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, he was playing. He was playing. So this isn't actually him.
Right. But, okay, now I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds stupid now that I play it back in my head.
Right. But, yeah, so I just caught a moment where the fellow stood up, he's fist pumping, and I thought, perfect, I'm going to snap this. And then I was just really happy with the colors. The sun was coming in and out, and you're getting all kinds of different shadows and lighting effects. And so this was a good point where it just kind of was evened out. So I really just like the light on the stadium. I like the situation. I like where this guy was sitting. So from a composition standpoint, I just really like how this kind of was subtle and in the frame. You got the whole effect to the point where I'll probably print this big and put it in Jack's room, like as a unframed kind of poster thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I like that it's got the welcome to Safeco Field. I just like how everything stays in focus. I like that it's clear that this is the Blue Jays and not the Dodgers based on the back of that guy's hat and the Bautista. Mm-hmm. There is different angles and different positions. Or if I just shot all the backs of everyone's hats, that you wouldn't necessarily know that this was, you know, another blue team like the Dodgers.
Definitely having that context, it makes it a much better photo because you posted the other one, which is reasonable. Totally fine.
Yep. Yeah, the other one was more of an action snapshot of just the game. And the reason I took it was not so much to use it as a photo challenge photo. I took it, we had talked about sort of, you know, the camping and just snapshots. And this was kind of a snapshot at an vantage point as this was the bottom, the top of the ninth. And basically, we were just heading towards the exit. So now we're just on our way out, and we stopped and we wanted to see Donaldson's at bat. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, based on the perspective, and I could see the scoreboard, it said, you know, 4-0, it's the ninth, Donaldson's at bat. So I didn't take this to be a photo challenge, but it was just an example of the RX100 at 1/2000th of a second that I could pretty nicely freeze the action. And it was just a context photo that I could sort of, you know, again, remember at some point that, oh yeah, the Jays won 4-0. There was no scoring for the Mariners in the bottom of the ninth, although we left after the top of the ninth.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just kind of like, oh yeah, it was a 4-0 game. And, you know, Donaldson is going to be, you know, when look back, you know, 20 years from now, he'll be the best Blue Jays player to probably have played in the last 20 years, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, again, it's sort of a neat.
Plus he got an 0-2 count, which he probably worked full and then struck out looking.
But he homered in the top of the first that I called. He got a 2-0 count, and then he hit a
went
hit
to right
homer.
Field.
Yeah, hit a homer opposite way, which I said to Jack, I'm like, this is a perfect situation for Donaldson. He's a power hitter early in games. He hits a lot of home runs, and he worked a 2-0 count. I'm like, he's going to get a fastball, and he hit it out.
That's my favorite count to hit,
2-0.
Yeah. That might not be true. 3-1 might be better. 3-1, because you've seen two more pitches. But
yeah,
early in the game, I like hitting 3-1. 2-0 late in the game, 2-0 is good.
So there you go. So that wasn't really, it was just kind of based on how I framed it, was just a kind of a photo for myself, just to remember, yeah, Blue Jays 4-0. Donaldson.
But back to the actual challenge photo. Now, this was taken pretty close to the beginning of the game, I'm guessing.
Yeah, this was maybe the third or fourth inning.
That late, because I'm looking at the shadows of the guys, and they're falling, not very long shadows.
No, and the sun was kind of like where we were in the stadium. The sun was kind of just above and just behind us, but there's like huge kind of like an overhang, and then the sun just at that moment just sort of squeaked behind the clouds. So it was again a softer kind of lighting situation,
right? I love the fact that like on a bright sunny day game, still have the lights on.
Oh yeah, yeah. Still get the light, which I found peculiar too. I'm like, what is that doing? Like, I'm not
just
sure.
Just a little bit of a fill, I think.
I guess, yeah. I mean, well, based on this day, I thought maybe nothing more than making it more difficult for the outfielders when the ball goes up. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you really have to pay attention once it crosses that line and then comes back down. You don't want to lose it during those up and down, the two times it crosses.
Yeah.
Generally, for the most part, doesn't happen too often. As you can see, there's no real lights in behind.
Yeah, they kind of kept them away from that spot. Yeah,
they've thought this through, but
I'm sure. But I know I had that same thought. It's like, what's up with the lights being on at this time of the day? But maybe
see for us when we play under lights, like normally, obviously we don't have the budget that these guys do, so our lights generally aren't as high. Like at Minoru, for example, at Latrace Field there,
yeah,
aren't as high, and so oftentimes the pop ups, like the ball, go above the lights and stay there for a little bit, and you have to then, okay, wait till it comes down back into the play before you can see it again.
Right.
That's fun. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But last thing before, you know, like the photo, like the whole wide angle of it, like that really is great, and then having the context makes the photo. You know, because I have some pictures of Safeco Field that are just snapshots. They say, well, you can see Welcome to Safeco Field. There's a reason they're not on my wall. They're just nothing. It's just not, eh. It's fine. A point-and-shoot camera, but still, it was, you know, who cares?
Right.
But I want to ask Mr. Batista there, what's with the collared shirt underneath?
Yeah. He had a great mustache, this guy, too.
Okay. Well, like never mind then.
Full, big, thick cookie duster with the with the little twist on the end. Like, it was
oh, really?
A super sweet mustache.
All right.
And, yeah, I wish... I mean, I did have a photo where you could actually see it, but then I thought, no, I don't want to reveal that to the world.
All's forgiven then, sir. Go ahead and wear that collar.
Yeah. It was fitting. It was fitting for the
individual. Well, you looked at the 1975 Chicago White Sox. They actually, their uniforms had collars.
Yeah, and this guy from the back, you can't tell, but he's probably 70 years old.
Or oh, really?
68. Yeah, he's not a young fella. This is a very gray, big cookie duster that we're talking about.
Good for him.
Yeah, so.
All right. Good times. That's sports.
Yeah.
All right, topic this week, real quick, because it reminded me, you know what it was, is the Huey Lewis. I swear this made me the connection. Because Huey Lewis had a big album called Sports, right? Huey Lewis in the News.
Sure.
And so I thought about, which led me to think, hey, it's hip to be square. Square aspect ratio. Bam. That's the topic this week.
Okay.
And we're done. Looks like we're out of time. But now the funny thing is, I brought this up before the show. I said we're going to talk about the square aspect ratio. And what did you say?
I said, I think we've done that.
I don't think we have.
I thought there was an episode with this exact topic. Well, so why doesn't everyone just listen to that one?
I can't find it either, though.
Oh, okay. Maybe we didn't. I'm pretty certain we did, but again, we don't have an easily searched database.
Well, we do have a search, and there is something called Google. It just didn't Google.
Yeah, when I Googled, everything that pops up is just our last episode. It just, really? that's what we get. Yeah. So I don't know that the title wouldn't be, oh, square aspect ratio. You have some nerdy title that went along with it, so.
Well, I'm sure square would be in it.
Maybe.
I thought it'd be square pegs would be something.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It would be square pegs, and we would interview Sarah Jessica Parker or something. I would name someone else from that show, but I don't know anybody else who was on that show.
Okay. Well, maybe we did an episode, or maybe it was just an episode that played in my head.
You know what ended up happening? We recorded it, but then Sarah Jessica Parker, SJP, I call her.
Right.
She asked us not to air it.
Okay. That's likely what happened.
Yeah.
It's one of the lost episodes.
Right. Because her husband, Ferris Bueller, I forget what it was. There was something going on. She's married to Ferris Bueller, isn't she?
Sure, I don't know.
As far as why do I even care?
My notes on Sarah Jessica Parker are very short.
Let me ask you a question. Will the knowledge of that make this episode any shorter?
we're already super long, so I think we should just
all right. So hip to be square. What
agree to disagree?
What is your normal aspect ratio? Like, what do you shoot when you shoot? You have DSLR, then you have your RX100. What is the aspect ratio on a DSLR?
3:2.
What is it on your RX7?
agreed it to.
Is it really?
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Well, did you crop this one?
Okay. Slightly cropped.
Well, see, I cropped mine too, and as a little subtle nod to the episode topic, my challenge photo is square.
Okay.
Ooh, I heard all the listeners not say. So Micro Four Thirds exists. That's 3x4. We got 3x2, the DSLR. But what about square? What, like, why? What is it? Where does it show up? Where was it generally associated with? Do you know?
No.
Well, your parents are old, right?
Yep.
Their parents are obviously old then.
Super old.
Their pictures were likely, the ones that you see in those black and white albums are probably square. Because back in the day, that's just kind of what they did, like in the, in the old, like, Kodak Brownie. Like I think the first Kodak Brownie, I think, shot square images. And then later on, slightly different, slightly bigger. But, so those old black and whites were generally square. They look great. Medium format, a lot of medium format, if you shoot like 6x6 or whatever it is, going to come out square. No need to make it wide. I don't know who said, oh, no, we got to make it wide. What's wrong with square? Nothing.
I agree.
So much so that Instagram, which is not that old, prefers, I think back in the day, I only know this from Googling, it was only square. You could only post square photos, but now you can post non-square. But even so, they prefer square. Even though the device you're looking at it on is definitely not square, it's a rectangle.
Retro cool.
Is that what it is? What about Polaroids? What about your daughter's little fake Fuji Polaroid?
Not square. No.
What is it?
I would say it's 3x2. Okay. I haven't measured, but it would be closer to that than square.
But I'm sure some of the old Polaroids are like, you remember them being square photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of love that. And do I love that because it's retro or because is there something there?
I'm not sure.
You can't answer. You can't get inside my head.
I think it's retro that you like.
Nah. It could be.
Hipster cool.
Now you've crossed the line. All right. But some of the newer digital cameras have this feature built in where you can just, you can shoot square, which is just essentially cropping it in camera. But it makes it easier to compose. Now, why would you? Like, what benefit would it have to shoot in the square format?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll handle it from here then.
Okay, you take it.
No, what? I mean I didn't bother doing a ton of research on why and this and that because I kind of wanted to talk about what we feel, not about just regurgitating a bunch of websites, right?
Okay. I don't have a really I go image by image just in terms of including what I want to include. So my reason for cropping, I mean, I compose everything with 3x2 in mind generally just because that's what the image would capture. If it only captured, a square image, then I would in my mind compose that way. So I think I'm so trained because I was never a film photographer I've always dealt with 3x2, so I know that's what's going to include. I try to include that to do as little post-production work as possible. I think that's my thinking process. So I really have to specifically think that there's unnecessary stuff in the frame for me to go to a square format.
And why would you waste those pixels? You have them. You paid for them.
Sure.
Use them, man. Like, they're there. Might as well use them. And so I kind of feel that way, too. Like, no, go nuts on it. But and generally, you're right. Like I compose when I'm shooting for other people, and those other people are going to get their own prints made. I absolutely always compose for 3x2, just to take so much of the guessing out of it later. Because if they want to go in and get it printed, and I've composed it as an 8x10, which is 4x5, not 2x3, and they get it printed as the 2x3, like in a 4x6 or 6x12 or whatever that is. 8x12. The picture's not going to look proper,
right?
So I compose it so as to remove as much of the guesswork as I can.
Agreed.
Like crowding the plate and then having the umpire beat you. That's exactly what I do.
Right.
But for my own stuff, like yourself, I just crop it to what I want. Because oftentimes it's, okay, well, if I'm going to get it printed, well, you know, I know what I cropped it at. So I'll pick something reasonable that I can deal with. Like, obviously some kind of weird, you know, 2.3 to pi ratio is not going to help. You're not going to get that printed.
Right.
On the computer, it might look fine. So, but in terms of actually going out and shooting square, now, the thing with square is it completely changes the composition game. How you line stuff up, where you put your subject, and so many different things just get changed simply by changing the aspect ratio. So much so that I never purposely shoot square, I don't think. I just don't know. Do I not care for it, even though I like it? I don't know. However, we're on episode 337, which means this week I will make the 337th album cover. It's been a new one every week. They're all square.
Interesting.
No, it's not, but thanks for saying that. Okay. But the reason it's square is it was before Instagram, it was before all that. It was just in my mind, record albums were square.
Right.
And there was something about that that I wanted to... It never occurred to me that, oh, I have to do the square for the sake of square. I just wanted to do it to, you know, essentially be the same as what album covers were.
Right.
You know, and album covers were square for a very functional reason because, you know, it's the minimal amount of album cover you needed. Why waste it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out I do love it and never, ever knew it. So how does it affect composition?
Mm.
What's the number one rule when we think of composition?
Fill the frame.
What's the number two rule we think of when with composition?
Rule of thirds?
Rule of thirds, which is actually, for you, probably number one.
Okay, sure.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
It's 1 and 1A.
1 and 1A. I've read some people say that, you know, once you get into square... square composition, the rule of thirds no longer applies.
Interesting.
I disagree with that, though.
Okay.
I think it does. If you look at, like at my photo, like, where are my eyes? Like, where's my face? My face is in the top third.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yes, I'm in the center. I'm not off to one side because that becomes very off-putting. So in that respect, the way you format it and basically have your subject, you're probably not going to put your entire subject off to one side. You're likely going to put them in the middle.
Right.
And I don't generally do that. For the most part, sometimes I do. In a shot like this, like a baseball card kind of thing, I would. But mostly when you're shooting someone's headshot or portrait or whatever, you don't really just stick them dead center.
Right.
In this case, with the square, you do, and I like it better.
Mm-hmm.
If you're
I said I agree.
If you're to stick them off to the side, it's going to look, something's not going to look right.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, no, the rule of thirds is out the window. However, within that, I still think it exists. You just kind of got to look for it.
I think of symmetrical, generally speaking. Versus, I mean, a lot of the times when we think rule of thirds, and I mean, I'm probably just reiterating your point a little bit, but we think rule of thirds is often asymmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, rule of thirds exists here, but it's square photos, I generally look to compose it as much more symmetrical than I would otherwise. I pay attention to the symmetry a lot more, I guess I'd say that.
Yes, that is exactly how I feel. And symmetry is okay. You joked early in the episode about, you know, have I slept since? There are little things like that do. I wouldn't say I wouldn't sleep because of it, but there are things I look for when I buy a dress shirt, for example.
Okay.
My dress shirts don't have pockets on them on purpose. I purposely buy the ones without because I don't need two pockets. It doesn't look very good.
Right.
And then I don't like the asymmetry of having one pocket.
Okay.
And so I tend to look for dress shirts without pockets because of the balance, because symmetry is very important to me. And so that's when it comes to shooting square, I also am very, very conscious of the symmetry of everything. like if you were to look, I it's hard because it's a self-portrait, but you know, I believe my nose is directly in like the middle of the frame.
Mm-hmm. The nostril lighting would suggest that.
Right. No, that's not lighting. That's just my nose is glows blue like that.
You got LED lights on the bottom of your nose.
Yeah. How long until that's a thing? Maybe not nose, but like LED earrings or something.
Sure.
That could be a thing. I'm sure we just invented. I cut that part out. I'm going to invent them.
Okay.
Okay. So, but the other reason, what I really like about the square crop, we'll call it in this case a crop, is the simplicity of it all. There's no worrying about, well, should I take this one landscape or portrait mode? It is. That is what you're dealing with. And in fact, when you are shooting, when you're consciously shooting with a square aspect ratio in mind, you're very unlikely to crop it later and go, no, I kind of like it landscape, which is essentially going to be a double crop.
Yeah.
Or just maybe adding stuff. But you're very conscious of what you have in that frame and how to compose that. And so I strive for simplicity. Like whenever I shoot anything or do anything, I'm such a big fan of simplicity, hence the no pockets instead of two. But maybe you don't. Maybe you don't care about simplicity.
I do.
Okay. Landscapes, square landscapes, I feel would be a challenge.
Yeah.
People shots, street photography, that kind of stuff, I think square's great, or even close-ups of, you know, fruit bowls or something, whatever you're shooting, still life.
Yeah.
But confining your frame to square for a landscape would be a humongous challenge. Might look good.
And I think where I see it and where I've seen it work well is with architectural shots, where, you know, buildings and the symmetry of the buildings, especially stuff that's, you know, sometimes shot up close, which I would still consider landscape, is it can be done in a very cool way. But then, like I say, that's buildings, and it's the symmetry of it that makes it work. Whereas, you're right, we're used to seeing kind of a landscape as kind of more of a landscape photo. It's more of a panoramic type shot, because you want to see, yeah, that sort of wide looking shot, versus square for some reason doesn't make it look as wide.
Square tends to be confining,
yeah,
which if done in properly is going to be claustrophobic. If done properly is going to really highlight your subject,
right?
Is in my opinion. Again, these are all just sort of things off the top of my head about, you know, what I feel about shooting square.
Sure.
All right, challenge for next week. Panoramic. No. Square. Obviously square. We got to shoot square.
Okay, square.
Square. That's it. So I'm going to go ahead and say right out of the gate, you cannot shoot the Rubik's Cube.
Okay, I wouldn't. I've already done it, so.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Moving on. Yeah. All right, so that's next week is square. The June monthly challenge is summer. And we'll get that up on the Instagram, hashtag it with the Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. And also we'll figure out the details on the Facebook closed group where you can post that, where a couple of people can post there. So two on the Instagram, two on the Facebook. We're off to the races.
Sweet.
Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. It's in need of an update, so maybe sometime soon I'll put a few new pictures up there.
Do it. It means you're busy. That's people recognize that.
That's
right. So go to alanatridge.com to find my stuff, and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.